Psalm 69. For the choir director, according to Shoshanim, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters have threatened my life. I have sunk in deep mire, and there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies. What I did not steal, I then have to restore. O God, it is Thou who dost know mine folly, and my wrongs are not hidden from Thee. May those who wait for Thee not be ashamed through me, O Lord God of hosts. May those who seek Thee not be dishonored through me, O God of Israel. Because for Thy sake I have borne reproach. Dishonor has covered my face. I have become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for Thy house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach Thee have fallen on me. When I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate talk about me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to Thee, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of Thy loving kindness, answer me with Thy saving truth. Deliver me from the mire, and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and deep from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, and may the deep not swallow me up, and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. Answer me, O Lord, for Thy loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of Thy compassion, turn to me, and do not hide Thy face from Thy servant. For I am in distress. Answer me quickly. O draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. Thou dost know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before Thee. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out thine indignation on them, and may thy burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate, may none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom thou thyself hast smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom thou hast wounded. Do thou add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into thy righteousness. They may be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. May thy salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song, and shall magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. The humble have seen it and are glad. And you who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. And the descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. Amen. This is what they consider the psalm for the lilies, and it could make a nod to the beauty of this psalm. It could mean a lot of different things, but that's generally the idea that's laid out here. This is really David's petition and his cry that the Lord really draw near to him. He's in a really difficult state. We don't know exactly what state he's in or why he's in this state. Some have alluded to the time of Saul. Some have alluded to the time of Absalom. Even some alluded to a different time. We don't exactly know exactly what's going on, but some things that we can know is that his enemies are great around him, and that David is being punished for something that he didn't do. And we'll go into some of these things. It's different than, with Bathsheba or something that he could take responsibility for, but he is being harassed, and he is being kind of in great distress because of his innocence. And really, if you read the psalm, he's actually in distress because even his faithfulness to God is being mocked. And brothers and sisters, you got to know that at some point in your life, even your dedication to the Lord is going to be mocked. And I think about even when our church first started fasting, you know, I mean, it's a simple spiritual discipline, something that the Bible says that all Christians should do and do regularly. But when we started doing that and we started doing the 21-day fast, I mean, we had so many people, and crazy enough, a lot of it was parents. And even crazy enough, these were Christian parents that really were very antagonistic towards their sons and daughters about this activity that they were freely and righteously giving unto the Lord. And so we can see that, yes, it does happen that when you are sacrificing for God, that people could have ill intent and make a case against you in that way. And so that's what we have here, is his petition. And so he starts off and he says, "Save me, O God, rescue me, deliver me, for the waters have threatened my life." In other words, he's drowning. "Lord, I'm drowning right now. There's so much going on around me. I can't float. I'm gonna drown. I've sunk into the deep mire, and there's no foothold." It's very different than in other passages where that says that he has set my feet securely on a rock. He's taken me out of the mire. If you know the psalm, and Psalm 40, by the way, that was memorialized in a song by a rock band named U2 that also wrote a song called 40, which is actually Psalm 40. And he says this, and it's such a contrast, right? In Psalm 40, he says, "Lord, you've took me out of the mire, you set my feet upon a rock." And now, David, obviously, Psalm 40 came after Psalm 69. In Psalm 69, what is David saying? David is saying, "I'm drowning, I'm in deep mire, there's no foothold, there's nothing for me to stand on. I've come into deep waters and the flood is overflowing me. I am weary with my crying, my throat is parched." In other words, I've cried out so much that my throat hurts and it's parched. "My eyes fail while I wait for my God." It means I'm so tired, and there's so much going on. And then he gets to the reason why he's feeling all this. And he's saying, "Those who hate me," and this is a key, "without a cause, are more than the hairs of my head. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies." He's saying that there's one thing for people to hate you, that's one thing, but there's another thing for people to hate you and try to bring you down. You know what I mean? It's two different things. There could be situations where someone just doesn't like you. We can understand that. I mean, not everyone likes everybody, but it's a whole other matter when someone doesn't like you and tries to bring you down. Maybe on social media, you could think of like cyberbullying or things like that. Someone dislikes somebody, but then they go the extra step and they try to bring him down or her down in some way. And that's what he's saying. He says, "Those who hate me without a cause are a lot of people. Those who would destroy me are powerful, being wrongfully my enemies." This is a powerful line. Check this out. "What I did not steal, I then have to restore." Think about how powerful that word is. "What I did not steal, I then have to restore." David is saying, "I'm not guilty of this." But when people lay accusations, it's on me to restore that accusation. That's why, you know, the scriptures are very clear. It tells us very carefully, don't throw accusations at people. Because the accusation itself creates a lot of damage and a lot of harm to that person. And if it's not true, oh my goodness, you know? If it's not true, oh man, it brings sometimes irreparable damage to the individual. You think of someone like Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, some of you guys that know basketball, there's a really famous meme on this line, and he was talking about, he said this in the report, "Practice?" You know, some of you guys are ballers, you know this. "Practice? We talking about practice?" You know, and just so on and so forth. Well, and then the reporters and everyone took that and laid this whole narrative that Allen Iverson's a prima donna. He doesn't like to practice. He just wants to show up and play in the games. That's actually a false narrative. If you actually read the whole transcript of that interview, what he was talking about, one of his best friends had just been murdered. I mean, had just died. And so he's in a news conference and he's reflecting on his best friend who just died, and some dumb reporter asked him about practice. And for Iverson, in his context, he's saying, dude, my best friend just died. And you talking about practice? I mean, are you really talking about practice when my best friend has just died and I'm mourning here right now? And then, of course, people can take that and lay all kinds of accusations. I felt sorry for Iverson, especially after I read the full transcript. I'm like, oh, man, these guys did a hatchet job. You know, they obviously didn't like this guy. And so they murdered him in the press. And his reputation was just tattered. Teams didn't want to pick him up. And pretty much the end of his NBA career. And so in that way, look, this says, what I did not steal, I then have to restore. That's not fair. It's like the accuser basically gets off scot-free. Oh, okay, I made a mistake. But then the damage to that person's reputation is so strong. But David is relaying, I didn't steal this, yet I'm the one who has to restore. And so this is his complaint to God. Lord, you know, save me from this. This is this craziness that's going all around in this way. But then he also has a reflection. He says, oh God, you know my folly. In other words, Lord, you know my heart. You know I'm not a perfect person. You know there's all kinds of things going on. Lord, all my wrongs are not hidden from you. And so then may those who wait for me not be ashamed through me, O Lord God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, you know me. You see my actions. You see what's the accusations are being leveled against me. You know the truth, Lord, right? Let it not be ashamed in this way. And then it continues on, because for thy sake I have borne reproach, dishonor has covered my face, I become estranged from my brothers and an alien to my mother's sons. He's basically saying even my own family has believed, and this is the key, okay? It's not like they've totally turned against him. But you realize, you know, the enemy's threshold is very, very low. It's very, very low. All the enemy has to do is lay a little bit of suspicion. The enemy doesn't have to prove anything. Listen, he doesn't have to prove anything. All he needs to do is lay a little bit of suspicion. And then all of a sudden, then we start thinking like, oh, did this happen? Or so on and so forth. And in this case, he says, man, this is even my brothers have been estranged, right? The proof of the threshold for the devil is so low. It is so, so low. And the enemy doesn't have to prove anything. All the enemy has to do is put a little ounce of doubt. Have to just put a little ounce of suspicion, and then we don't really hear. I mean, there's so much more I can say about this, but this is just a powerful passage, and it's even caused people close to me to doubt and to wonder. That's exactly all the enemy needs. He doesn't need to prove anything. He just needs to add a little bit of suspicion, and he's won in that way. And he says, and in fact, in verse 10, and when I wept in my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword for them. Those who sit in the gate talk about me. I'm the song of the drunkards. And he's saying, Lord, even my devotion to you is being turned around as if it's some kind of shame. Even my worship to you, even my repentance to you, has been turned around. Have you think about this? Have you ever gone before somebody and said, man, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm so sorry for what I've done. You know, I'm so sorry for this and that and so on and so forth. And then later on, and then having someone to come back, you know, not to you, but to other people, and basically say that was a fake apology. I mean, that's basically what David is saying. He says, I laid out, I was humble. I laid my spirituality out there. I humbled myself with fasting, you know, and I wrapped myself in sackcloth. And then the enemies of David simply said, yeah, that wasn't genuine. That was fake. That was not real. And so on and so forth. And David is saying, God, do you see that? Do you see what's going on here? You know, and so the turning of the heart. You see, David, he's not schizophrenic, you know, but David is like honest before God. That's why I love David. He's just so honest. He's so raw. And I think it's so important for us to be so honest and so raw with God. God can handle it. Don't do that. I mean, maybe you could do it with your wife, right? Because she understands you. But don't do it horizontally. Do it vertically. Do it with God. He can handle all these things, all your complaints, you know, all your moaning and your whining and all those things. Don't moan and whine to other people. Moan and whine to God. That's what he does. And he says, and he turns in this place and he says in verse 13, but as for me, my prayer to thee, O Lord, at an acceptable time, O God, in the greatness of thy loving kindness, answer me with thy saving truth. He says, all these things are happening. Lord, I'm just going to come to you. Only you can take care of this matter. Deliver me from the mire and do not let me sink. May I be delivered from my foes and from the deep waters. May the flood of water not overflow me, and may the deep not swallow me up, and may the pit not shut its mouth on me. He's rescue me, God. Only you can help me in this way. Answer me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. According to the greatness of thy compassion, turn to me, and do not hide thy face from thy servant. For I am in distress. Answer me quickly. O draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. Thou dost know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All my adversaries are before thee. Lord, you see everything. If probably the better translation is they are known to you. Like, you know what they're doing. You know what they're saying. And so, Lord, be the Lord, right? Take care of business. And he's saying this reproach, 20, has broken my heart. And he's physically sick. He's the recipient of all of this pain. And he says, I look for sympathy. He's talking about among his brothers. And he says, and there's no one. For comforters, I found nobody. In fact, they gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. In other words, they made it worse. And if you remember, you know, Jesus used this, or the Bible writers used this, when they pointed to Jesus that was hanging on the cross. And then he gets now into this anger mode. And he says, Lord, you know, just basically take care of them. May their table before them become a snare. When they're in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim. They cannot see. Their loins shake continually. In other words, let them be impotent. You know, let them grow blind. Pour out thine indignation on them. May their burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him who thou hast smitten. And they tell of the pain of those whom thou hast wounded. Do thou add iniquity to their iniquity, and they come into thy righteousness? May they be blotted out of the book of life. Oh my goodness, David. David's going crazy here. I mean, he's like, God, avenge them, kill them. In fact, don't just kill them, man. Just make sure that they're taken out of the book of life. In this case, I don't think David was referring to like the Lamb's book of life that we see in Revelation. I think he's referring to the community of faith of the Jews. And he's saying, take them out of community. These guys, you know, don't deserve all, you know, all these things. I mean, again, you don't want to say this to other people, but you can rightfully say this to God in your anger, in your pain. God can handle this. And we see David doing this. And he says, Lord, I am so afflicted. I am in so much pain. And so, you need to do this. And then at the end of 34, he goes back to that praise. Let heaven and earth praise him. Lord, even the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah. They may dwell there and possess it. And the descendants of his servants will inherit it. Those who love his name will dwell in it. And David is basically saying, Lord, I have a good future. I know you're going to do something. You're going to rescue me. I have a good future. We're going to be back in Zion. Remember, he's probably hiding out in a cave somewhere. He's not in the holy city. And he says, my family is going to be restored. We're going to come back here and we're going to see prosperity, you know, in generations, so on and so forth. Okay? All right. That was a really long one. But let's close our eyes. I don't know if you've ever had a time where you were slandered or you were accused, and I mean, it's brought great pain to you, maybe great pain to your family. Maybe something's happening at work where your colleague is backstabbing you and trying to take credit for your work, or, you know, maybe your girlfriend or boyfriend is accusing you of something. It's painful. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You have an advocate in heaven. You have someone that you can run to and cry out to. It probably doesn't much give us much, do us much good to cry out to your friend. But you can cry out to God. This is some great advice I've gotten in this season. You know, a really renowned church leader in Hong Kong told me and my wife, learn to really cry out and be really honest with God. Just really pour out your heart. And we've really taken that to heart in this season. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you've in a situation or you're happened in the past, or you know, maybe something in the future for something you bank on, turn to the Lord. You know, make sure that you're in good standing, first of all, and turn to God, who is your defender. He's going to take care of it, especially if you are slandered unrighteously. He's going to take care of it. He's going to leave no stone unturned. And we can find comfort and strength in the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Lord of all, Let's pray. Let's learn to cry out to the Lord. Let's learn to give Him our heart, the fullness of our emotions. You know, that's what intimacy is about. Intimacy is about sharing your whole heart, your good, the bad, your moanings, complainings, being totally vulnerable, you know, expressing your inner thoughts. And God already knows. Come on, God already knows. It's foolish for us to keep it in. But there's something that happens to us when we totally release ourselves before the Lord. And not just when you're going through difficult times, or, you know, you're being slandered against or anything like that, but just in everything, if we can have the kind of relationship with God where we're totally vulnerable, where we're totally honest before Him, and you'd have such an amazing relationship with the Father when we're able to do that. And so as the psalmist continues to tell us that I cried out, I poured out my heart, let's have a continual practice of that in our own life. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, that are going through therapies and chemo. Let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those who have non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's battling through COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's also pray for the frontline medical workers. Ask God to give them strength and protect them from all kinds of disease and infirmity. Just continue to watch over them. pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for SP Tokyo. Pray for Pastor Sophia, Jungmin and Hyunjin. Pray for the church there. And just continue to lift up the whole country. Let's pray for in the States as well. Pray for SP New York with Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's pray for India as well, for Kelly Kraft, and ask God's hand to be with her. Let's pray for our friends ministering and let's pray, lift up these countries. Pray for our missions council. Let's ask the Lord to speak to them and use them to really lead our church in our missional endeavors. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries. So let's just pray for all the babies that are in our care. We have a few new babies that have come in. And so let's just ask for God's blessing and protection over them. And let's praise God that Chris and Amy's baby was matched. And so I think this Sunday, actually, we're going to pray for him. And the adoptive parents are coming to service as well. So let's just really thank the Lord for that. Let's pray for gatherings tonight, the intercessory prayer team, SP Youth and SPU. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to really lead and guide not only the Bible studies and prayer meetings that are going on, but that people really, really connect with the Lord and with each other. Let's lift up our pregnant ladies. Let's ask God's hand of blessing and just protection over them. Let's pray. And these, actually, all of them on this list are all first-time moms. And so I'm sure there's a lot of concerns and fears. And let's just pray that the peace of God would just overwhelm them and really protect the baby. And they would all have a very easy delivery. Well, let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church, for Go, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bend, Westside meeting tonight. Let's pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be so strong that the Lord will be leading this meeting and people really draw near to Him and to each other. Let's pray. pray together. Lord, we thank you for Psalm 69, God. This is a treasured psalm, God, in David's library. And Father, we pray that we would learn like David to cry out to you, God, not to complain to others, God, not to moan, God, to others, but to cry out to you. Lord, you who say, come and let us reason together. God, that you invite us to come to you, Lord. Help us to be honest. Help us to be vulnerable. Help us be real and truthful, genuine before you, God. Lord, you already know, Lord, so who are we trying to fool anyway? And so help us, God. We thank you. Watch over us. Watch over our community. God, as we continue to seek your face today, Lord, we love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you over this weekend.